This is Thomas Keegan with LibertarianProgressive.com, also blogtalkradio.com/election channel. LibertarianProgressive.com is an independent media organization. We interview independent and third-party candidates who are on the ballots. We believe if a candidate has gathered enough signatures to be on the ballot and has a statistical chance to win, then a responsible media will include them in all the debates and interview them to educate and inform the public of their options. There's more going on this November 8th, 2016 than the presidential race. We have Congress as well, another branch of government, just as powerful, 435 members. And today we're in the House and another 100 members in the Senate. Today we're interviewing Bill Stinson. He's running as an independent or no party affiliation candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in District Number 8 in the Sunshine State, Florida. And you can read more about Bill at StinsonForCongress.com. That's STINSON, the number 4, Congress.com. And Bill, we're delighted to have you here so we can interview you, learn more about your platform, what you're offering your District 8. Is this your first time running, sir? And what inspired you to get in the race this year?
Well, yes, it is my first time running, although I have been a civil servant with NASA out at the Kennedy Space Center for many years, a quarter century. And in addition, we're going to have a debate that's going to be on YouTube probably today or tomorrow. TCPalm.com did a debate between it had me, it had Mr. Posey, and it had Corey Westbrook, all three of us on the debate. And it went very well, and you can see exactly where I stand in comparison with everyone else in that debate. And I thought it highlighted quite a few things about my platform. So that'll have on the YouTube channel for TC Palm, and I will link to it on my page and also on my personal page. So make sure as many people see that as possible, because it is a stark difference, you know, between everybody there. And I got into this race because I thought there needs to be a change in District 8. There's a lot of things happening in the world right now and in this district. We're here where the estuary is located. The Indian River Lagoon has been in deterioration for the past 7 years. We had a super algae bloom really hit it in 2011. So since then, 5 years ago till now, been basically a death trap for marine animals. So there's things that we're going to have to do to change the source of that issue. Also, the job market has been deteriorating ever since the space industry has been transitioning, you know, into private industry. And so a lot of my friends that worked out at the Kennedy Space Center with the space program have lost their jobs, and they can't find other jobs. And when they have found other jobs, it's been at a much lower salary. So you've got a supply and demand issue with high-tech jobs, and that shouldn't be the case in today's world. We are a high-tech world, and we should be investing in technology to help our educational system and help our job market. Because when you have a high-technology industry and you're investing in it as a country, you create new industries, new jobs, and the economy expands. I mean, from the space industry investment that we did during the Apollo program, we've had so many new industries flourish from there. You know, our cell phones, nobody know what they do without their cell phones now. You've got wireless communication, you've got GPS, you've got all kinds of uses from microwave ovens to everywhere else in today's modern society, the computer chip. You know, matter of fact, right now I'm working on expansion of a new industry with a digital interface on our security system. And that could bring in a lot of more jobs into this district. So job market and making sure the high technology is invested in. We need someone with the technical background in office in order to explain on the Hill exactly what is the best investment for our taxpayer dollars and make sure that it goes towards that, and we can have new jobs, we can have new areas of investment, and we can make sure we address issues prevalent in this district, including the Indian River Lagoon deterioration.
Yeah, so the difference between deciding on which technologies to invest in could be argued as the person who is getting paid by lobbyists to influence what technologies, you know, get invested in versus someone who has a passion for it and is doing it, you know, from their experience. So what would you say about that? Like special interests, lobbyists, when you get into Congress, let's say if you do get into Congress and are the representative, how are you not going to, you know, turn into just a regular politician, quote unquote, and how are you going to stay in touch and not in the Washington bubble?
Well, another part of my platform is civic engagement. I want to make sure that this is a we the people government, and there are civic engagement platforms that are available now. Hear My Voice has reached out to me, and I've done some talks with them, and I want them to be a part, or another civic engagement platform, be a part of outlining all of the issues on the House floor, all the decisions being made, all of the different appropriations that are on the bill for budget, so all budgetary decisions. All of these things have to be available to the people, and the people have to go ahead. The constituents have to lean one way or the other and be interactive on these sites, and that way we can have metrics available on these sites to say, this is way the constituency is leaning. This is the way the district wants to have these decisions made on the House floor. And I can go and look at that and say, this is what we're wanting to do as a people, because I'm a representative of what the people should want to do, not what a lobbyist or a special interest group that has a lot of money to flow into Congress. They should not be controlling our policy. They should be out of the game. This corruption and money flow that's going into our government isn't the way we want our government run. This is supposed to be a government for the people, about the people, in the best interests of the people. And that is not the case, and that's one of the reasons why the estuary is in a state of decay, because we have the sugar industry controlling policy, and they're compartmentalizing the flow down the state of Florida, so the natural filtration that occurs down the state of Florida isn't occurring anymore. Now it's compartmentalized and flowing out to the sides of the state where the estuaries are, and you got nutrient-dense flow going there, causing algae blooms and animals. So we're going to have to take control of our government as a people. That is key, and I'm passionate about that, and there is no amount of money that's going to divert me from making sure that we bring our government back to the people the way it's supposed to be, because that's my passion.
All right, Bill, and it sounds like it. And now you're also running as an independent, and you're also supporting term limits. If I look on your website, in the issues, on the issues link on your website, StinsonForCongress.com, term limits in Congress. What's your stance on term limits?
Definitely term limits. I mean, if you're on my site at all, you see I am a big proponent of eliminating this career politician control of Congress. Because when you're in there for a certain amount of time, you make all the connections, all the network connections, and you know all the lobbyists and all the money flow. I mean, and you stay in that office, and there's no new blood going in there. There's no new ideas going in there. There's no change going in to make things better. I mean, the one thing you have to know as a business owner, which I am as well, I own a few bits, continual improvement, if you're going to make a difference in your company. So to make a difference in Congress, there has to be continual improvement. But how do you do that if you have the same person in there for 50 years? Some of those guys in there 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, we've got to have new people in there with new ideas, and so there has to be term limits. I don't plan on being in there 50 years. I want to get in there, make a difference, and have some succession planning, where somebody can come in behind me that has some new ideas and bring things to the next generation. Because we got millennials right now that want things to happen in government, and they're very well connected. They've got their cell phones. They are more connected to information than any other generation for them. And more of them are voting every year. So there's going to be a change in government soon. I mean, you got these millennials voting, and they can see corruption in government. So we want to make sure we change for the better, and we have term limits. Term limits are vitally important to make sure that we can get new people in there, new ideas, and get a continual improvement process put into government.
And what do you think would be a fair term limit amount for the U.S. House? How many times should they be able to run for the U.S. House, would you say?
Well, I would say 8 to 10 years total should be enough. I mean, I know that the Senate is a six-year term, so to say one term in Senate is kind of limiting. So at least two terms in the Senate for 12 years and 8 to 10 years for the House, and the president's limited to 8 years now. So, I mean, you've got to have something that kind of, it's similar across the board between those positions.
Yeah, and like you said, some of them have been there a very, very long time. Some of them have, I don't think, really have had too many other jobs. And you bring to the table being a business owner, which I did not know, so that's very interesting. Who would better know, what types of regulations are holding businesses back and what types of things could help businesses than a business owner themselves? And what about the Indian River Lagoon and the environment, though? That is an issue. What should we do regarding that? That's a big issue right now.
Yeah, well, currently I'm an ambassador to the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Indian River Lagoon Council. That's with Dr. Dwayne DeFries, who's trying to get a coalition of all the different groups to, evaluate a new master plan, a new comprehensive master plan for the river that hasn't been updated for a decade. So we got to come in and come up with a new plan that can delineate the best initiatives for the river, because we've got to eliminate the source of flow into the river, the compartmentalization of the flow down the state that I talked about before, and also some of the runoffs from the sewage, from the septic tanks, stormwater runoff. We've got issues with some of the living shorelines that are being deteriorated. We got to make sure we have that proper filtration along the river shorelines with the plants that do the nutrient filtration. We've got to build upon what we know and make sure that we take the very best initiatives and move forward. And there's a lot of other initiatives around the world where they are cleaning up their estuaries, so we have a platform to see what works and what doesn't. So we've got to evaluate those and have proper metrics so we can say, hey, this is working better for our estuary than that. And we can have those things implemented, so our money that's going into this is the best use. Because I think $16 million has been appropriated over the past 5 years, and where's that money gone? I mean, has it gone to groups that are tied into these lobbyists that are funding Congress? I don't see the accountability and transparency in the government to see where all of our money is going. We need to have that, and we need to have that on a civic engagement platform where everyone can see, and then we'll have true ability and transparency for every issue, including the Indian River Lagoon.
Absolutely. It's hard to make an informed and educated decision as a voter if you don't have the information to make those decisions on. So more accountability and transparency, I think, is a consensus issue, whether you're on the left, right, in the center, wherever. Now, what about, we spend about, our budget currently is about $3.8 trillion a year federally. You do have an issue here. Do you think we can cut that back just a little bit? I mean, you have here, you're part of a coalition to reduce spending. So is there any potential that we might reduce our debt a little bit, et cetera?
Oh, we've got to eliminate our debt. I mean, it is ridiculous what has happened. And I mean, if you look at the actual facts of, the past 8 years with this current administration, our debt has ballooned. It's ballooned out of control. And part of that is all of the spending initiatives that have been in there. Part of that is the waste that's prevalent in government that I'd like to eliminate. I mean, I worked out at the Kennedy Space Center with NASA as a civil servant for nearly 25 years, and I saw the waste in government. I mean, I was there in a technical field, but with the main engines, you know, some of the rocketry, so I was a rocket scientist. But we had to get our fluid lines made out in California and shipped back to Florida to put on the shuttle. So, I mean, we and the guys who normally made all of the lines are right there in our depot in Florida. And they taught the guys in California how to do it. Because of politics, we had to ship these lines out to California to be made and ship them back. And when they didn't fit, we had to ship them back to California again. So this is a make-work effort, you know, that's in the, like the current administration that is doing with government jobs. And it's ridiculous because it's wasteful. We should not be making jobs like that. We should be making real jobs with high technology that make a difference, that are productive. We should not have waste just prevalent through the government system and the political system. And I fought that my entire time as a civil servant and got a lot of savings put into the process, millions and millions of dollars of savings with initiatives that I forced through with my work with NASA. And I want to try and do the same thing with the government, because if we can do that with the government, then we're really making a difference and with trillions of dollars, like you were saying. If we can save that amount of money with a more efficient system, then you can reduce this deficit quickly, because we can make a lot of money with our economy and with the high tech, new jobs. We'll have new economies, you know, with new industries coming to bear and new jobs, new real jobs that will come out and give people work.
We're going to ask a little bit about the new jobs, the new industries. I'm going to save that for last, but let me ask you one other platform issue you have on your website. And again, for people tuning in, we're talking with Bill Stinson. He's a candidate for the U.S. Congress in District number 8 for Florida, running no party affiliation. He recently had a debate. We'll have links to that. And we'll ask you as a follow-up if you have any other future debates coming up. But another issue on your website, Stinson, Stinson, the number 4, congress.com, is mobilization of incremental tax exemption. Could you explain that a little bit, sir?
Oh, yes, yes. If you go to that site, might.org, I believe, you can see that there are initiatives for that tax exemption. And the incremental tax exemption can come about in incremental terms, you know, incremental bites with everyone. So that way everyone can get tax exemptions, you know, and we can actually reduce, you know, some of the taxes being paid by our by the income tax. Because the income tax is taxing the working man. And that's where a lot of our money's coming from, where there's write-offs for the higher income people. The higher income people with money coming from other areas, they can have tax write-offs, they can have loopholes. They can keep from paying taxes, as everybody has seen, and I guess Trump is running into that issue now with his taxes, because he's legally found ways to get around paying taxes. And that's the way our system is set up, and it needs to change. And this might is another way to try and change that with the incremental tax exemption. And we need to implement it, and we need to find other ways to reform our tax code as well. I think that we are penalizing our working man too much, and to boot, it causes issues with people trying to hire these workers. Because now you've got all of these other things that the employer has to pay into. So we need to actually have tax breaks for people employing people for new jobs. And we need to encourage new jobs and encourage people to work, not discourage them with too many taxes and too many regulations causing an issue with our working constituents.
All right. And now let's get into the industry of the future. Let's talk a little bit about renewable energy, which you also have listed here. And then we're going to get into space a little bit, you know. And so what about renewable energy, though? How do you foresee that? Where should we be in 10 years from now?
Well, if you see my site, I do have PhD research that I've done in the renewable energy area, mechanical engineering. And with that, I have a new design on a wind turbine. It's a very efficient wind turbine design that is patented, so it's brand new. And we're trying to commercialize that and bring that to the public. And I just see Florida, and especially this district, is too restricted in our renewable energy policy. We have the large current industries that control all the policy. And I was up in Tallahassee trying to work with some new renewable energy policy, and you have too many lobbyists for the current energy systems and the current industry companies who are up there spending so much money, and they control the lawmakers. And actually, we have an Amendment 1 coming up on the ballot this November. And it's the industry, the current energy industries, who formulated this amendment to make it look like a renewable energy policy when it isn't.
It's one of these Orwellian things where it makes it look like you're pro-solar, but it's actually anti-solar, right?
Exactly. It is anti-solar because it could kill any net metering availability for anyone who gets solar on their house and is putting energy back into the grid. The industry, current industry, wants to restrict you from making any money from that. They want to say no money's going to you because you're using our grid. Well, it's a grid we're paying for. The taxpayers are paying for that grid. We just use these energy companies as contractors for that. You know, so it isn't, isn't their grid to say, hey, if you're using our grid, you can't make any money from putting energy on it. So they're trying to be very restrictive with solar energy production by saying we're going to eliminate net metering, and they're trying to do it with the sheep and wolf's clothing amendment. They get everybody to say, hey, this is a pro-solar amendment, when actually this is for their industry to keep them from paying any money to you if you use solar. So definitely go no on Amendment 1 in November.
Yeah, they're being very tricky about it. I mean, it says one thing, and the title is one thing, it means another. So what about space? Let me ask you this, because, a long time ago, far, far away, the Queen of Spain, I think it was, invested in Christopher Columbus going to the New World. And no one can argue, there's been some tragedies with that, but no one can argue that that wasn't a complete boom to the economy, to the world as we know it, as far as technology and et cetera. And so in the same kind of sense, and John F. Kennedy said, we're going to have a man on the moon in 10 years or something like that, even if it's for a short period of time, should we have someone, should the United States send someone, and maybe working with other countries, to Mars?
Yes, definitely. I think we have to make that that leap, and we're going to have to go beyond that as well, because we have the Earth, we have this nice biosphere here that is the cradle of mankind, and it's the cradle of a lot of different species here on Earth, but it's a limited process. I mean, future generations are going to have a base of technical knowledge to be able to expand out of this biosphere. Otherwise, there will be a termination to our species. So, I mean, to think about expanding the mind, expanding our technology base, expanding where we can go, it will be beneficial for our economy. It'll be beneficial for our educational system, for our youth. It'll be beneficial for our future generations to start looking ahead as to where we can go as a man, as a species. Our species has to be able to flourish and find a way to expand out of this current biosphere.
Yeah, and it's not about going to any specific red planet per se. I mean, it's more about the technologies that are going to expand out of it. It's more about the spirit of human discovery and adventure. And it's also just as much about the future, because if we don't set the foundations now, then the future generations are going to have to set those foundations. And how much better off will they be if we start to set those foundations now, So there's a lot of offshoots that will come off it. Let me ask you this. We've had the Industrial Revolution. We've had the Internet Revolution. What about the Space Revolution? That could be a huge job boost. And, that's just exponentially bigger than each of the ones before it. So let me ask you this. What kind of message do you think it would send to District 8, to U.S. House of Representatives, if you, Bill Stinson, were elected as a member to Congress, and especially as an independent? I mean, not just the policies you're bringing forward, but just, yourself being an independent, I mean, would that send a message in itself, do you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're ready for a change. I mean, you can see that in this election cycle. There's a lot of support for anti-establishment candidates, and I think that's going to be the wave of the future, like I was saying previously about the millennials and they, what they can see, you know, with all the information they have at their fingertips and wanting a change and wanting to be able to find a job. You know, a lot of them are getting out of college and they can't find jobs. I mean, we're going to have to make a radical change and break away from this this two-party dominated system that is corrupt. And we need to find a better way to do things. And I think sending a message with this, you know, with me as an independent going in, trying to build bridges in Congress, because right now Congress is so divisive between the Republicans and the Democrats, it's ridiculous. I mean, they aren't even supporting, they aren't even talking to each other. So we've got to find common ground, because ultimately we're all working towards the same thing, the betterment of America. So we need to work towards that together. And we can't be so divisive. A house divided cannot stand.
All right, absolutely. United we stand, divided we fall. We don't want to be divided and conquered. Let me ask you, who are some of your favorite people, Bill, past or present?
Well, I think the Supreme Court is a big issue coming up with another one coming in. So I know that John Marshall, you know, on the Supreme Court, was a key figure at the time to dividing the powers in government. He came in the Supreme Court and he made sure that we had three different divisions in government. You know, the executive branch, the legislative branch, you know, and we get those branches separated, you know, along with the judicial, with the Supreme Court, and we have those three branches having their own powers and sort of canceling each other. And that is critical in our modern government versus a royal, you know, a dictatorship or a monarchy and things like that. We have shown the world how to make sure we try and keep government in check. And now we need to make sure we go forward. You know, John Marshall was a key figure in that, and who we bring into Supreme Court next will also be a key figure with a lot of these Supreme Court decisions. So we've got to be very careful and make sure we see what has happened in our past with these key figures, you know, and also Lincoln. I like Lincoln bringing the country together when it was divided in the Civil War. You know, he's definitely a major president. And so you got a Supreme Court figure, you got a presidential figure. We need to try and bring that together and move forward from here.
All right. Very, very interesting. And now, again, we're talking with Bill Stinson, independent or no party affiliation candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives, going to be on the ballot this November 8th for District 8. Bill, we have a caller. Do you want to take one phone call question here from one of our callers?
Yeah, that would be fine.
All right. Let's see. We have a caller in 318 area code. Let's bring him in and I'll just let you ask the question. Go ahead, caller. Do you have a question to ask for our guest today? 318 area code, you're on live, and if you have a question for a guest, feel free to ask it. If you just want to listen, that's fine as well. All right. Well, I'm not hearing anyone in there, so that's all right. Well, we'll just I don't know if they're off the line or whatever, but now let me ask you, you already had one debate. Are there any other debates coming up, Bill?
Yeah, the Florida Today debate, I just heard from Matt Reed that it's going to be around October 20th. So October 20th will be – and it should be televised in our area as well as on the internet.
All right, sounds good. And now we'll also put a link to your debate. So are you going to have that up on your website, StinsonForCongress.com?
Yes, I'll try and link that YouTube link on my website when it comes up. It should be under TC Palm for TreasureCoastPalm.com. Their YouTube channel should have it, is what they told me when we did the debate today.
All right. And so anyone listening here can also re-listen to this broadcast at libertarianprogressive.com in about 24 hours. And so, Bill, it's been a pleasure. We'd like to know all the options out there. Let people know that there's a lot more happening this November 8th, 2016, besides the presidential elections. There's your Congress, like you were saying, another co-equal branch of government, 435 members of the House, 100 members of the Senate. Bill, any final words of wisdom that you'd like to leave with us here towards the end of this interview, sir?
Just everybody, please get out November 8th. Make sure you're registered to vote and get out on November 8th or before for early voting and vote for someone. Try and do your research. Let's get the best people in office as possible. So let's let everybody be as informed as possible, and let's get our vote and make our vote count.
That sounds good. And I would say anyone listening to our interviews, you can see 35+. There'll be 50 of different candidates or independent third-party candidates. Look at some of these names. Call your local media. Call your media and say, you know, I'd like you guys to interview this person. And so, suggest some of these candidates be interviewed. Be very interesting to hear from them and let the American people know about what their options are and about the race for Congress as well. I find that actually more exciting than a presidential race. So good to talk with you today, Bill. Thank you for taking the time. It's been a pleasure, and good luck in your campaign. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. This has been a great time.